And action! Welcome to Pat and Mike's Movie Club, the inaugural episode of Pat and Mike's Movie Club. Pat, thank you for doing this.
Hey, likewise, man. Great to be here. It's funny, right? Because I remember when you first told me this idea, I thought, oh my God, that's perfect. Because here's the thing, Mike.
Yeah.
I have a pea brain. Like, my attention span has just shrunk so much over time, being part of the TikTok generation. I can't sit down and focus on a movie. So having this club to, like, actually engage and, like, discuss film is so good because I've always been, like, a pseudo film buff in a way. Or, like, you know, I've wanted to be one more than I actually am. So I'm glad we finally got a platform to, like, finally, like, shoot shit about it.
Totally. I feel like... I like movies, but I'm not a film buff.
Yeah.
Like, I do, and I don't want to be a film buff because I think being a film buff is wanky as fuck, right? I just like movies, right? I don't care what they are. But yeah, the idea of this movie club is like, we like watching movies, but there are so many movies, like, I guess, on our list that we've been wanting to watch for a long time, but haven't watched. And you know what? Making this rule up on the spot, why don't we do 1 month it's my choice, next month it's your choice. So then we do 6 movies each. Basically,
put it there.
Yeah, cool, deal. Left hand handshake.
That's the way.
This is going to be at the end of every month, so there'll be 12 this year and then maybe we do it next year. This is just a new content idea me and Pat have. Of course, me and Pat do the Pat and Mike show over on Patreon, so I guess ideally, like, this is another way to feed people to the Pat and Mike show on Patreon. If you like this, go and listen to the Pat and Mike show. But I think, the idea is just to, you know, watch movies and talk about movies together because that's what, like, a lot of the content I make and what you're into, Pat, as well, is, like, you know, pop culture and stuff. And I think movies are a great way to have cool conversations about pop culture. So, shall we get into the first movie?
Let's do it. Or shall we say, let's alakazam into it?
That was terrible. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
For our final trick.
We are going to rob a bank.
On the count of three, you will be teleported through space and time to your bank in Paris.
1, 2, 3.
Everyone in this room was a victim of hard times.
Some of you lost your homes, your cars.
And so tonight,
we're going to return some of that money back to you.
Thank you, everyone. We are the Four Horsemen.
Okay, Pat, the first movie in our movie club is Now You See Me from 2013, directed by Louis Leterrier. The tagline is as follows: 4 amazing magicians, 3 impossible heists, $1 billion, this is no illusion. An FBI agent and an Interpol detective track a team of illusionists who pull off bank heists during their performance and reward their audiences with the money. It stars Jesse Eisenberg, Mark Ruffalo, Woody Harrelson, Isla Fisher, Dave Franco, and Morgan Freeman. So,
what a cast.
We both watched this, I guess, during the week.
Yeah.
What were your overall... No, first of all, I guess... What's your relationship to this film generally just in your life?
That's a great question. So when you first suggested this movie, I was taken back to my high school days.
Okay.
So my high school had this thing.
And this is the age gap between me and Pat. 2013, Pat, what year
I just
are you
started
in?
Year 7.
Year 7. Okay. I just started university. My arts degree at Melbourne, which I dropped out of and then went and did community radio at RMIT. And now I'm with you. So and there you go.
Hey, look at us now. We're two fucks doing talking about movie movies.
We're doing the most original idea ever. Two guys talking about movies.
Bro, what if we talked about movies? but no, so very, this is my one memory of the movie.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. Do you reckon at one point we should do guest movie clubs? So we'll get an, we'll get a guest on to bring a movie.
Yeah, maybe we should get someone who's like competent about film, like Dave Lee or something.
We should probably talk about this off air.
Yeah, this is an off air convo on air. But no, my memory with the film. So my only memory or interaction with the film is that, at my high school, we had this thing called Night of the Notables where for 2 weeks you research a notable person. So it could be anyone of like any like celebrity or like a, you know, historic person of like, okay. Oh, they did a cool thing. They cured a disease.
Give some examples of ones that people in your class did.
Well, I did Peter Jackson and I drew on a fake mustache with Texter.
Oh, did you have to be the person?
So for extra credit, you could dress up as the person.
Right. So could you do like Smouse and then get expelled from school?
I wouldn't be surprised if someone did Chris Lilley.
My notable person is Smouse, the Chris Lilley character, and I've come dressed as him. Oh, sorry, Timmy. You have to go home.
Yes, slap my elbow, move me. But yeah.
Okay, so far we haven't even talked about the movie at all, but go on.
Hopefully everyone's still on. But yeah, during that first week of researching, pretty much everyone, what we did was we were just set up in these like barren classrooms. A teacher would come in now and then and be like, all right, kids, do some research. There was no set task or goal. We were just kind of, we had free range to just do whatever we felt was right.
Like a chicken, and free range.
Yeah,
I think you mean free reign.
Look, if you're a listener of the Pat and Mike Show, you'll know that words are not my my specialty. But anyway, so during this first week, everyone would just waste time and procrastinate.
Yeah.
And I was very much the same. And I remember the girl in front of me who used to bully me. So I hope that person's okay.
Please don't say dead. No. It did sound like you were going to say dead.
No, I just hope they're neutral. I don't wish for anything one way or the other.
Yeah. So you wish they're alive. Actually, the only way to ensure that they're like completely neutral would probably be if they were dead, because they'd be feeling nothing. No, this is horrific. This isn't
a true crimes podcast. Calm down. But yeah, as I was like piss fighting around, going on like, you know, cool maths games and stuff, the person sitting in front of me just watched Now You See Me on her laptop. And so now and then I used to glance over, oh, there's Dave Franco on a boat. Oh, there's Isla Fisher in a tank. Oh, there's Woody Harrelson talking.
Okay, so that's your only experience?
That's my like only experience.
Yeah, okay.
I only knew that those three were in it.
So so this is a first watch for both of us, right?
Yes.
And I think that's the idea of the movie club, right?
Very fresh.
But I remember being like 18 and the trailer for this movie came out, and I genuinely remember being like, this movie looks awesome. I have to see it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it sounds really cool. Like magic heist, like crime, magic magicians doing bank robberies and stuff. That's cool. And then I just never watched it. Like, like most movies that I like go, I want to watch that movie. I just never watch it, right?
Mike, here's the thing. I think I relate to that heavily because I see so many trailers or advertising material. I'm like, oh, that looks sick. I'd love to check it out.
Yeah.
But then reality sets in and it's like, oh, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the reason I suggested this movie in particular is because at first I was like going to start pitching like The Godfather or like The Shawshank Redemption and like, I guess
Freddy Got Fingered.
Films that are known as being like really great movies. And then I was like, yeah, but like maybe the conceit of this series is just watch the movies that you said you really wanted to watch all those years ago. So like,
yeah, love
and
that.
This is the, and I genuinely think this is the prime example of that in my life. It's a movie that I remember seeing in the trailer for movies like 11 years ago. And
yeah.
I finally watched it like 11 years later. So let's sort of set the scene. Like there's no real structure to this, but I guess we start by just saying, I reckon we have a rating scale of like, loved it, liked it a lot, liked it, didn't like it, and hated it. And
that's pretty good.
I'm going to say I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I'd say I'm hovering between the liked and liked it a lot.
Yeah, okay.
For sure.
I think a few the thing about this, and I did put it out on Twitter to get some listener thoughts. So maybe we do that. We just start with what some of the listeners and followers thought. So we had one from Juzzy. He said, it's a bit of dumb fun, but it sort of stops making sense right after it starts, but that's okay. It gets the team dynamic pretty good, which is super important for these sorts of movies, and it bothers me an unreasonable amount that they didn't call the sequel Now You Don't. We also had some from John Bridges on Twitter. Dumb fun, gets the team dynamic right for an adventurous blockbuster. It treats magic the same way Fast and Furious treats cars, and that's why they should ultimately cross over.
Wow.
Interesting.
Okay, first off, like, bang on the money. Like, this is basically Fast and the Furious for magicians. But also, oh my God, I'd love to see a crossover. Like, imagine, like, Vin Diesel being like,
too fast, too magic. Okay, I'm going to say, I think the cast is actually really good. So of
great
course,
cast.
Main guy is a magician. It's Jesse Eisenberg. He's like sleight of hand kind of magic. Then you've got Woody Harrelson, who is like a hypnotist kind of mind reading guy. Then you have Isla Fisher, who's like a, what's her? Is she like a contortionist kind of?
Yeah. So she was originally Jesse Eisenberg's assistant, but then went to go do her own thing. But yes, the very well-known, renowned actress you may remember from such classics as Scooby-Doo 2002.
And then Dave Franco is like a con man kind of. He can steal stuff with fast magic, basically. And they all get approached by some anonymous source to pull off some like insane bank heist and magic. They find out it's in order to become a member of this kind of like mysterious, almost cult-like magic group called the Eye. And we don't know who is sort of the person behind it, but it's like where all magicians want to get into this exclusive club called the Eye, right?
Mm.
And then, and then what happens? We're still filling it out. Pat was just looking at me and he goes,
No, I thought you had more to say.
No, it's like you say something. Well, now.
I mean, that's a great thing. You know, they have that stuff at the start, they'll get brought together, some shit happens, and then the movie ends, and you're like, oh my God, what a great movie.
Yeah. yeah, that's pretty much it. But like, so they end up doing these magic shows to like mass audiences. They team up.
Yeah, they end up being like really successful.
And in the first magic show, which is really fun to watch, it ends with basically they get a member of the audience to rob millions of dollars from a bank, like through magic, and then they reward the audience with that money, right? And they start becoming really famous, but the FBI starts tracking them.
Yeah. And
the other thing is there's also this thing that keeps coming up. So Morgan Freeman's character, why don't you tell it, like who's Morgan Freeman's character in this?
Well, Morgan Freeman plays a former magician who exposes and tells the truth of magic tricks, who happens to have a great voice.
He's a debunker. He becomes a magic debunker.
Yeah, very true. You know, talks about how he has successful specials and DVDs. So he's like a world-renowned exposer.
Yeah. And he also is known for exposing a magician in the past who did this magic trick where he put a card in a tree. And it was like a 20-year-long magic trick. That's kind of relevant for
later,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
And basically the FBI is working with Morgan Freeman to figure out how these magicians are pulling off these bank heists. And really they have no evidence against them. They can't figure out how it happens. So Morgan Freeman is trying to explain how all these tricks are working. And Mark Ruffalo is the head of the FBI.
Yes. Oh, but by the way, can I just say, so funny because I went into this so fresh. When he caught on screen, I was like, what the fuck? What's he doing? Like, for some reason, my brain was just able to avoid the fact that Mark Ruffalo was in this movie.
Mark Ruffalo reminds me of Ray Romano for some reason. He's just got that voice and he's got the similar face.
You know what he is? He's like, I don't know if he's a step up or a step down, but he's like the Pokemon evolution of Ray Romano.
And then I feel like he's like Ray Romano mixed with Arj Barker. Don't you reckon?
Oh my God, 100%.
I swear, like Arj Barker evolves into Ray Romano, who evolves into Mark Ruffalo. It's like, yeah, we've gotta get them. No, that's a terrible impression.
Yeah, they've got that same kind
of. Yeah, we gotta get the, how are they doing all this magic? Deborah?
Oh my God, that's spot on.
And so I think here's one of the things that like, I mean, all the magic is really interesting and stuff, right?
Mm.
But then some of the stuff that's happening in the movie, I'm like, I don't think that's, you could do that in real life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like magic is really cool, but we all know it's not real and it's all like deception and sleight of hand, which the movie really leans into a lot. Like it's all, you know, the closer you are, the less you see kind of vibe.
Yeah, definitely. But
some of the tricks they're doing, I'm like, you could not, that is surely impossible. I don't know. What did you think?
Yeah. I mean, look, you could definitely tell that some of these tricks were a bit, you know, like puffed up for the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's funny, right? Because in terms of the standard idea of magic, like there's obviously like, you know, the first thing that might come to mind is, oh, Houdini, or like the classic media trope of the guy in the hat and he's got the magic wand with the white tips. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, I guess it's funny, right? Because it has a similar approach to kind of modern day showmanship you'd see from people like Penn and Teller, or even Chris Angel to an extent. Did you used to watch Chris Angel?
No.
He used to have a show called Chris Angel Mind Freak, and I used to watch it all the time as a kid. So I definitely saw like very similar kind of showmanship and like that culture. Because really, like magic, you know, outside of fantasy, like Harry Potter and stuff, it's kind of an untapped market. Like it's I aside from like maybe the prestige and what was the one with oh my god, who's the actor from Adrian Brody? What's the movie he did? The Magician's Apprentice or something?
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like aside from that, it's like magic isn't really explored.
Yeah.
Like, can you name another like magic movie?
I mean, not unless it's fantasy magic, no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, so they've kind of cornered themselves in a good spot by making a thriller out of magic, right?
I think that's what interested me about it in the first place, is like I'd never seen anything like it before.
Yeah.
I think it does really work for the most part. I think the ensemble cast of the four magicians being, you know, Jesse, Woody Harrelson, Isla Fisher and Dave Franco really work. Like the chemistry is really strong between them.
100%.
And when they're on stage, because a lot of the movie is them sort of on stage doing performances together.
Mm.
It really works. You feel their charm and their charisma and their snarkiness knowing what they're getting away with basically.
Oh, definitely. And also it doesn't help that there's a lot of reunions in this movie. There's so Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg reunited from Zombieland.
Oh.
And then also Michael Caine and Morgan Freeman reuniting from the Dark Knight trilogy.
Okay.
It's funny because the movie starts with a narration from Jesse Eisenberg. And I remember just thinking, oh my God, it starts exactly like Zombieland.
Okay.
So that was a funny
comparison.
I haven't
seen Zombieland.
Ooh, could that be on the list?
Maybe, yeah, it could be.
Ooh.
One thing I thought ages the movie, and it's only from 2013, but did you notice that, and this is, it's sad how common this is in pretty much any movie pre-Me Too, that Woody Harrelson's character is just almost exclusively like uncomfortably sexual towards Isla Fisher's character.
That's one of the notes I wrote.
Okay, yeah. Basically, like, any movie pre-Me Too, there is a woman character and most of the jokes around that character are like, oh, you're hot and I want to fuck you and I'm going to say it. And that's what Woody Harrelson does. And Isla Fisher's character, like, I guess, like, finds it funny. But
yeah,
like,
but, like, constantly shuts it down. Like, it made me genuinely uncomfortable. Like, I got, like, you know, it's kind of meant to show, like, you know, he's from the 80s. He's probably a bit more sleazy. But, like,
yeah,
even for 2013, it still felt very, very kind of pushing in a way.
Yeah, because, like, I would argue the movie doesn't pass the Bechdel test.
No.
And Isla Fisher is like a pretty strong, competent female character, but then yeah, she kind of ends up being belittled in a way because of this like sexual attitude towards it, which is so prevalent. It's amazing how prevalent it is. And like, I remember watching fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the like 2014 one, the live action
Michael
one.
Bay Turtles.
And like Michelangelo, the turtle, basically just can't stop talking about how much he wants to fuck April O'Neil. Not in those exact words, but it's just uncomfortable. Not only because of the subject matter, but also because he's a turtle.
And also like, it's a kid's movie.
Yeah. And I just remember being like, this is so bad. But yeah, that aside, like, I think the movie keeps going with this mystery because it obviously becomes apparent that it is sort of like, not a murder mystery, but it is a mystery that someone is the one that's telling these magicians to do this stuff, right?
100%.
And for me, there's two suspects that they kind of push, right? The first one is the female FBI agent she's from Paris and she's working alongside Mark Ruffalo. And the movie kind of, a lot of people don't trust her because she's from Paris and she doesn't have jurisdiction in the area or whatever. Mm. So the movie really tries to push you in the direction that she's sort of the one behind it all and she's deceiving them, right? And even Mark Ruffalo starts to suspect her a bit, even though he's falling in love with her.
Yeah.
And did you, like, because I think maybe because we've seen movies and lots of movies, like, you know enough about movies to know it's not going to go in the way that they're trying to make you think it
is. Yeah, they're definitely, like, going towards a bit of a, you know, a twist kind of element, you know, like, make you think, like, oh my God, who is it? And I was struggling throughout the movie to think, oh, who could it be?
I was struggling too. And then the second person that they kind of hint more towards the end, but like I started thinking it pretty early, is that Morgan Freeman is actually the one behind it all, right?
Mm.
And I feel like we've been watching this show, Only Murders in the Building, which is like a murder mystery, Steve Martin, Martin Short, right?
Yeah.
And Selena Gomez. What I've realized about murder mysteries, I call it the rule of three, right? There's one person that they set it up that it definitely would be that person. It's never them.
True.
Then there's the second person who is like the curveball person that then they try to subtly imply that it's them, but then it's never them. Then number three, it's always just some, like, there's someone else with a motivation that's barely there, but you find out at the end. Like, there's, yes. I always feel like there's two people that, there's one obvious one, one not so obvious, and then there's one that you just never would have expected. And that's what this movie, what happens in this movie.
Yeah, that's really true.
Because Morgan Freeman is not behind it in the end. No. And he is actually framed at the end.
Yes, in a very clever little way that I was a fan of. I enjoyed that a lot.
So shall we talk the ending and the twist reveal?
Yes. So okay, spoiler warning. So Mark Ruffalo ends up visiting Morgan Freeman's cell.
Because Morgan Freeman goes to prison. Yeah. They think he's guilty.
And then through some witty dialogue, we find out that, now at the start, I think something we failed to mention was the person who was, you know, set up these people. He was a cloaked figure who was present within these other people's events, like magic shows or whatever. And we eventually find out that the cloaked figure is none other than Marky Mark Ruffalo.
So this is, and I did some reading about this movie afterwards, and I think this reveal is the biggest contention that people have with this movie. So you do find out at the end, Mark Ruffalo tells Morgan Freeman, actually, it was me.
Mm.
And his motivation was Morgan Freeman exposed that magician who like did the trick in the tree. That magician then, like, it's implied that he killed himself because of the shame. And then Mark Ruffalo's character is that guy's son.
Fuck.
Did you not get that?
No, I...
That was the reveal.
Fuck, I mustn't have been paying attention to that part.
So yeah, like the reveal is he was his son and he was trying to get revenge on Morgan Freeman the whole time. So the whole time you're following Mark Ruffalo, who's trying to capture these magicians and he's with the FBI, turns out, no, he was actually the one behind it all. Okay, so now it's funny because you didn't, you totally missed like the key thing.
No, because
that's why I brought up the trick in the tree. Remember he put,
That
was Mark Ruffalo's dad that did that trick.
That is actually coming back to me now.
It's not.
No, I swear to God it is. Here's the thing, Mike. When I watch a movie and I'm like, oh, that was good, I park it in a spot of my mind and it's in this like blurry spot that I don't really back to. And look, I probably shouldn't have put it in that spot. I probably should have put it in the more active spot because we were talking about it on a podcast.
No, that's fine. But yeah, like what that aside, like what did you think about the reveal?
Yeah, I on the one hand, okay, no. My first reaction was definitely like, oh, get fucked, no way. But then as I was thinking about it, I was like, oh, is this the best person they could have picked?
Yeah, so that's kind of what I thought because throughout the whole movie, like the magicians are doing these big magic heists and stuff. And then you get Morgan Freeman and he basically, they show you again. He narrates what's happening and it shows you the magic they use to do these heists. But then when the ending comes and it turns out it was Mark Ruffalo all the time, they don't do that because I don't think there is any way like to show that he was part of it. Like,
yeah,
they pretty much just show him as the hooded figure, like giving him the cards and stuff. But they don't do like what they should have done was like now kind of let's trail back through the whole movie and see how Mark Ruffalo was actually behind it.
Yeah. Like that's the one thing I was thinking, like I'd love to rewatch this movie knowing the twist going into it and seeing if I have a different perception.
I don't think there would be though. And I think that's the biggest problem with the movie is that it was just like, okay, it obviously can't be the girl. It can't be Morgan Freeman. So who should it be? Let's just make it Mark Ruffalo. Which does fit in with the movie's theme of like the closer you look, the less you see and deception and
definitely
magic.
Yeah.
But I thought I didn't love it at the ending. It didn't explain anything.
Yeah, it didn't like completely satisfy me. Like in the you know what it was like? the reveal of the person was like fast food. Great in the moment and like, you know, you enjoy it. But then as it settles, you're like, oh.
I feel horrible.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
Yeah, no, that's a very good analogy.
Yeah, as opposed to a very, you know, nice, beautiful four-course meal of, you know, an incredible reveal.
I think like also the last kind of heist thing they do, remember they do it at that big building and they're on the roof of the building. And then they like jump off the building, but it turns out it was all like dummies and stuff or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, how did you prepare this and with what money? Like this is like a massive stunt that you're performing. How did you do it?
Probably from the Euros that they stole.
That's actually true.
Or maybe that's the thing too. Did Mark Ruffalo like, cause
fund it?
Yeah. Like he obviously would have had to like, cause he set up that little location for them, all the cards and shit. They were in a fucking amusement park at the end. Like surely he like, he must.
Well, that's what maybe they should have good shown.
Like inheritance after his dad was so ashamed.
Maybe actually the other thing that I, midway through the movie, Dave Franco's character dies, right? Mm. In a high speed kind of chase by the FBI. He dies in a burning car fire, right? As soon as I saw that, I was like, he's definitely not dead.
Yeah,
like,
same.
It was literally
such a
like,
ruse.
Yeah. It didn't even remotely fake me out because I was like, this whole movie is about deception. There is no way that he is actually dead.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts? Like this has been a good discussion of it, but if you've got any other thoughts, like let's voice them now.
Well, I'm just going through my notes here. But yeah, so like I said, I thought the Zombieland thing was funny, or the comparison. I like the detail of how they fleshed out Woody Harrelson's character at the start by showing like the photo of him in the 80s, showing that like he's aged, you know, he's like, he's got, experience.
I think Woody Harrelson's type of magic, like the hypnotism and mentalism, is the least believable. I don't know how that happens in real life. Like I don't know how, if it works in real life, but yeah.
Something. Oh, and another like more of a nitpick, but this has to be one of the last movies that showed like hyper tech, you know, and like interfaces as opposed to the modern day like smartphone kind of thing that we're all used to.
True.
Because it had like, to me, like the tech in that movie reminded me of like Cats and Dogs.
I have not seen that movie for 20 years and we're not doing it for this.
Cats and Dogs 2, Kitty Galore. We'll watch that with Neil Patrick Harris.
Is he in that?
He replaces Tobey Maguire.
It is funny watching movies from like, yeah, the 2010s, just before iPhones and stuff become big and they're still using like Blackberries and stuff. Yeah. Like stuff.
It was only like midway through the decade, they're like, okay, let's finally start using phones.
Yeah. Interesting. Overall, there is a sequel to this movie, Now You See Me 2, which listener Juzzy thought should be called Now You Don't. Mm. I thought it should be called Now To See Me. Are you intrigued to watch the sequel?
I am. It definitely has tickled my fancy because I guess, not that I think they can't, you know, outdo themselves from the first one, but I'm definitely curious to see if, you know, what the next big thing is. And also, the other cast members as well, curious to see.
Yeah, because one, Isla Fisher does not return for the sequel.
Really?
As far as I could tell, she was pregnant during the time of filming, so she doesn't return. There is a new character, a new female character, because of course there has to be a token female.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who the actress is, unfortunately. But one thing about the sequel that interests me a lot is Daniel Radcliffe is in it.
Yes.
And I remember at the time, a lot of the marketing for this movie, because it was only like maybe 4 or 5 years after Harry Potter ended, it was sort of, a lot of it was about, oh, like the marketing was like Daniel Radcliffe is doing magic again.
That's what I was thinking. That's the reason, because I wasn't sure if you knew.
Yeah, no, I remember that. And that only made me want to watch it more, but only now if I watched it.
Yeah, but back then it's like, oh, shit, I haven't seen the first. Yeah. I guess I go watch that. And then 10 years later, we're here.
And there is also in development another sequel, Now You See Me 3, which I think should just be called Now You 3 Me.
I was thinking the same
or
thing.
Or Now You See 3. Oh,
God. Now You 3 3.
And then the fourth one should be called 4 You See Me. But I thought, overall, like I thought this was a pretty enjoyable film, really fun concept, amazing performances, bit of a weird ending that I didn't think like made you, it didn't feel like there was much to think about with it because it didn't feel like there were any hints left about that. But
I will say this though, there's not a whole movie. There's not many movies like Now You See Me anymore in the sense of like that kind of, like obviously we still have modern thrillers and whatever, but like you were saying before that, like that pre-Me Too era, like not specifically, oh, you know, people not being treated fairly, but more so that like kind of like, it almost had a like an innocent sense of action to it and suspense that reminded me of like a movie from like the 90s or even like the 2000s.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I liked it a lot. You liked it a lot.
Yeah.
There's some flaws with it. I would watch it again. I think that's pretty much it on the first movie club. Are you happy to leave it there?
Yeah, I'm happy to adjourn this this meeting.
Well, you are the one who is, I guess, picking the movie for next month. We have already picked it. Do you want to announce to listeners what do they need to watch for February 2024?
For February 2024, we will be watching 2013's Her.
Okay, Her, the camera just died. That's okay. Full videos on Patreon, except for the last few minutes because the camera died. Her from 2013, another 2013 movie. Again, we'll talk about it on the episode, but I've wanted to watch this for a while as well.
Me too.
All right. That is the end of the first ever Pat and Mike's Movie Club. Find us as well on Patreon, patreon.com/Pat and Mike, if you want to hear more of us having a good time. Of course, TCB, Harry Potter and the Boys and everything. Follow Pat on Insta at Pat70Show.
That's the way.
And I guess all that's left to say is cut.
That's a wrap.
Oh, that's way better.